Well, hello again there, folks. So I wanted to have a bit of a sort of general ramble and meandering talk about a few things, but mainly the kind of the idea of the UK as being this dystopian thing, this new aesthetic which is catching on. People are talking about it. I saw Sargon had a video on it, and I've actually been writing about this for quite some time at my Substack. And I find it difficult. Well, like, why I'm happy to see that this is becoming a thing people are talking about is because there's this general feeling of malaise and dystopia in Britain. What we used to call it Britain, now, like, all of the institutions just call it UK, like YOOKAY. As if it's got this new name. It's been re not only has all of these changes taking place, but it's actually got a new name now, which is dumb and meaningless and rootless, and just a fabrication of NGOs and think tanks and just this kind of awful handle on it. And what I wanted to kind of where to begin on all of this is I was recently watching The Midsummer Murders, the first season, which was on when I, so the first season of this was coming on when I was just a young lad in the late 90s. And people may not recognize it or remember it. I think it's still on the television actually. But Midsummer Murders was this twee Sunday night murder mystery show with John Nettles in it. And it was set in and around the home counties. Midsummer was like a made-up place, a distillation of all of the kind of lovely, comfy, cozy Middle England, safety. And then, of course, it was juxtaposed, which happened with all these murders that went on there, which is why they kind of had a strange thing where, on the one hand, it was the most perfect place to live, but it had like a murder rate higher than New York or whatever. But the idea was, and it got into some controversy a bit later on, that was that this was airing on Sunday night, and then it was like soma. It was a kind of anesthetic for preparing you to put you off to sleep nice and comfy on a Sunday night before work the next day. You used to get David Attenborough on as well. It was always this cozy, relaxing, go off to sleep, it's all right, because it's Sunday and I don't worry about work the next day. We're gonna just put you into that comfort zone with Midsummer Murders or David Attenborough, whatever. And so it was all these lovely summery houses in Oxfordshire or, the Devon coastlines and all of this. I also like fancied John Nettles' daughter, who was called Hallie or Cully, who was this more or less the same age as me, give or take a year or two, I think. And it was the most twee representation of the home counties in Middle England, and that was the whole point of it. Now, as a young man, I actually really disliked it, and I used to be on in the background, but I, for reasons which I couldn't quite put my finger on, I grew to despise Midsummer Murders, and now that seems like a heretical sort of stance to have. But the reason why I disliked it was because that was not my life at all. And I think I had a kind of resentment, a northern resentment, because the lives that they seem to lead. You can say that I was completely wrong. Of course, I probably was. But my interpretation of this was that when I was in a young man, when I was 20, like I had to do 12-hour shifts in for agency, like shite work here, left, right, and center. And a lot of the times I would actually be leaving to go. One job that I had was in this dairy, which wasn't as wholesome as what you might think. It was just a set of 10 lines with the full timers up on these machines, and then they'd turn the machines on. And when you'd go in for your shift, because milk doesn't have any kind of storage date, so you have to get it out no matter what. And when I came in, it would just be like on a digital timer. It'll be like something like 76,328, and you wouldn't get to go home until that was on zero, and you are working in refrigerated conditions. And then on top of that, the full timers would be actually operating the lines, and the bottles would come out so fast and that you couldn't take them off and put them onto the trolleys fast enough, and the top started to pop off. And you'd get shouted at, and it was just this horrible sort of grueling work environment, which I would do for like 12 or 14 hours until it was empty. And I would go off to work and things like that, and I'll be consciously aware that on the television as that was happening, there was this sort of cully who was in my age group, what would be on Midsummer Murders, and it would be this kind of, well, she's going to go to college studying Shakespeare, and then all of the people in it were like running cozy corner shops, and everybody was wealthy, everybody was well heeled, and it would be somebody my age who was like the local gardener who was having it off with a richy woman and all of this kind of thing. And slowly but surely it began to build up a resentment in me about the South, the English South, which seemed soft compared to where I came from, which was obviously the Northeast. And I didn't have this kind of, I didn't understand how they got money. I didn't understand like where did all their money come from? Where did all these comforts come from? And I looked at the kind of place where I came from, which was seemed to be much more raw and gritty, and run like kind of run down, but also that you had to really struggle. The life in the home counties to me seemed easy. They seemed pampered and they seemed soft. And I resented it. When I used to watch something like Midsummer Murders, it was just like an overdose of this kind of thing. And I didn't like it. It used to kind of boil my piss, to be honest, because it was just so different from where I came from. And what I've been noticing recently on social media, now that we are in the UK, we've got a whole new aesthetic, is that it's interesting to think about that, and it's interesting to look at. There's these nostalgic videos going around of like Midsummer Murders. And you will see, you'll see like the 1960s and the 1950s, and it breaks everybody's heart because it was so lovely, it was so genteel, and it was so, and in actual fact, where I came from in the Northeast, it didn't actually have that. It was industrial and then post-industrial. And so this raises an interesting question because, it wasn't the case that it was always this twee in a lot of England. I don't just mean to focus on the Northeast, but a lot of the kind of industrialized areas, they weren't particularly nice, they weren't particularly pretty. But the difference is it still felt like home. So it still felt like ours. And I felt, and even if you weren't in on the home counties, that kind of concentrated distillation of Middle England with the cricket pitch and that like the gentle little picnics and the operas and all of this kind of stuff that you would see in Midsummer Murders, we didn't have that so much at all, but it was still home. And it was still, you still knew your place in the world. So it isn't just a matter of material conditions. Like I didn't actually despise the Northeast itself. I just had questions about how their lives could be, as I understood it through the media, of course. A lot of people who live there will say, "You don't know what you're talking about. Wasn't that nice at all? Wasn't that easy?" Okay, whatever. It was just my interpretation of it by media. But now I think you can say, well, okay, whether it's one or the other, we are all feeling that we're in a new phase, in a new mode, which, and I've traveled through Oxfordshire about 18 months ago, and I immediately saw this gigantic, enormous little warehouse down there on the road. I think it was to Stoke or somewhere, or to the airport at least. And I realized that, yeah, I went through one little village in the south, and you had like women in burqas, but like the Tudor pubs were there and all the rest of it. But now you obviously had foreigners. And then, of course, back in more industrialized areas, it's just the same, if not even worse. And I think so. We are now in this new phase, which people are calling the UK. Where England and Britain is now something else, and it's got a different name entirely. So the new aesthetic and mode of being, which people are referring to as the UK, is neither the twee Wind in the Willows, Midsummer Murders, sort of Tolkien shire. Of the South and of the home counties, but neither is it the post-industrial get caught boys from the black stuff style doom and gloom either. In a sense, it's terraforming all of it. So all of it, you know that line from Lord of the Rings where it's that you have to understand there won't be a Shire. And in a sense, you can also see that everybody's fleeing. Everybody's running, or everybody who's got the money is now running, trying to run from the UK, this new thing, this new country that we live in. And so what is it? Well, it's foreign for a start. It's alien. It's authoritarian. It's top down. And it is globalist. Now, of course, there's big things going on in geopolitics, which may well be short-lived. It may well be that we outlast this phase that we're going through. But for the here and now, we can see that it is foreign people elbowing their way and insisting that they be accepted, and they've got the power, institutions, and law behind them. And so the natives don't. It is changing place names, demographic changes, and relentless PR campaigns to belittle the natives, run them down. It's two tier Kia. It's all of these things. It's lying Tories, selling out the country. It's the Boris wave. And what it all leads to is this general sense of alienation. And the feeling like you've become the other in your own country, which again, this is why I kind of mentioned the sort of Midsummer Murders, post-industrial North dichotomy at the start. And I think a word that sums up how we feel, if you were thinking about, and you go back over the decades, and if you look at, say, the age of Thatcherism in the 80s, there was certain tropes that you can see played out throughout that decade. For example, in the beginning, you get the boys from the black stuff. You get this idea that Thatcher's bankrupting everybody. She's stealing people's milk. She's closing down the unions and all of that. And then when you get into the second half, the leftist critique then in the first half mainly centers on unions, it mainly centers on money, and that Thatcher's this bully of the working class. But when you get into the second half, they change gears and they say, well, she's turned everybody into she's basically abolished the working class and created a new swathe of middle class. You know, you think of the white man, white van man, and plumbers. And Harry Enfield and loads of money, and everything then became about, well, I'm all right, Jack. I've got mine. Everybody's rich now. It's just this purely individualist dog eat dog world, which was at the core of that sort of worldview. that kind of libertarian worldview where you're out for yourself. There's no such thing as society. There's just a load of people competing in a market and all the rest of it. The point that I'm saying here, though, is that that was expressed in the culture, in the zeitgeist, in the British intelligentsia, the feelings of what the people were going through, the natives, obviously, the country at large, the national collective psyche, if you like. They found an expression in the media, which today the UK as sort of aesthetic does not, because it's the media which is kind of ramming it down everybody's throat. And so there's this sense of disorientation. And I think the word that sums it up very well is the word deterritorialization. That's difficult to say for me with my tongue. Deterritorialization of cultural products involves the dilution of culturally specific attributes to create a more generic product with universal appeal. So you'll notice that the UK is now deterritorializing both the Home Counties, Midsummer World, and the Northern Industrial Heartlands. And everything is becoming this template. Everything is losing its identity. Everything is being taken away. And here, this little example says, example of this include New Age recordings of South American panpipes, the Irish pop band The Corrs, and Canadian music acts such as Bryan Adams, Shania Twain. So this kind of postmodern replica of what came before. And this is where you will see like a woman in a hijab or whatever they're called, which is a celebration of Welshness, or these diversity will be representing kings and queens of old. So the essence of what was, the forms that were there, the place names, the statues, everything that was there is being deterritorialized and reduced as a kind of replica of itself. But the original essence and meaning to the native population is just completely annihilated. And one of the things about this, of course, is that it's difficult to put this down on a spreadsheet as such. But so the leftists will try and pin people down, and they will say, "Well, how quite you'll have to quantify that." Oh, of course, you'll just be called a racist and kind of brushed off. But deterritorialization itself, of course, is a function of globalization. In a world of deterritorialization and supraterritoriality, distance becomes almost irrelevant, the end of distance. So, we often see these things now where even out on the Yorkshire Moors or the English countryside, there's these campaigns to make sure that ethnic minorities are out hiking in these remote hills, or you'll see representation, which would eventually come for Midsummer Murders after a fight, by the way. The writer did say that this is the last stand of Englishness, and he lost. And it's a perfect example because in Midsummer Murders, the writer, the director, he understood this. And so he tried to put up resistance to say, well, actually, we're losing everything in England. I at least want to maintain this barrier. It's the erasure of barriers and the turning everything into a generic slop. So it would be one thing to say, for example, EastEnders in the 1980s, it was diverse. I mean, it's not as diverse as what the East End of London actually is now. But EastEnders, okay, it was more diverse in the 1980s or the 90s, but now Midsummer Murders has to look like EastEnders. Everything has to become the same. It's sameness, generic slop, generic product across the board. And I think this deterritorialization results in where the native population, because of the loss of territory in a kind of psychological sense, they end up disorientated and dislodged. And it's demoralizing, deliberately so, as a matter of policy. And but they're kind of on the outside of their own country, looking back in as if they're looking through a kind of glass dome at their own country, their own culture. And again, this is all deliberate. But you'll notice that the reason why I kind of harped on in the beginning about the distinction between the home counties, Midsomer Murders as an example, and say Middlesbrough, was that they both had their own distinctness and their own uniqueness. And I could sort of resent how easy Cully had it in Midsomer Murders as I went out for me shit agency 12-hour shift. But fundamentally, that was because I was asking a question. We are in the same country, but they live so differently to us. There was a difference and a distinction between the regions, whereas the UK is that annihilated across the board, and everything is the same. The home counties is the same as out in a city, Liverpool, or this. That is the trajectory. That is the road that we are on. That is, in the end, why they abolished the whiteness of Midsomer Murders. And it's difficult to it kind of get a good handle on the aesthetics, because it's only people who are on the internet discussing this, which I think is also interesting, because it kind of adds that extra layer of being outside looking in, studying at what this thing is. It's depressing, and it's an authoritarian, it's dystopian. But hopefully it's not going to last too long. Because it does look like in geopolitics, lots of different things are shifting. But I thought that's my thoughts on it. And I'd be interested to see other people try and explore this concept, because as I mentioned, you can go back through other phases of that we've gone through. And it was as if, at least in some degree, the BBC, or we even had movies once. I mentioned Get Carter. That Get Carter was how I viewed Newcastle of the 1970s. But because everything is captured and compromised, we don't really have an authentic manifestation of what it is that our people are actually thinking and feeling in what we now call the UK. Rather than Britain or the United Kingdom. It's this new entity that we've been dislodged from. And I think it's good for us to try and get a handle on this. I also don't think, for reasons I won't get into now, it's simply not sustainable in the long term. It's just absolutely miserable, and it's a horrible, inauthentic way to live. And it's easy to fall into these traps of the nostalgia videos that you see going around about how wonderful everything was in the 50s and the 60s. It actually wasn't. There was places that looked like that, but you don't. This there was a yes, there was an ideal, but it wasn't the case if you lived in Glasgow. It wasn't the case if you lived in South Shields, but it was still home. It was still home. And we were still rooted to something. We were still territorialized, if you like. That it's now that you see, actually, you can even look back on what was considered something grotty and kind of shite, like high-rise flats in Killamuff. And actually, it doesn't look too bad anymore compared to what it is now. And that's kind of like what I'm trying to get to, is that it's not just material. It's a spiritual thing. And the UK does is attack the soul and the spirit, because it removes you from the land itself. It pushes you on the outside of it. And it says, well, actually, all of the boundaries which protected your identity and gave meaning to your world are now flattened. They're now being abolished into what it says here, the dilution of culturally specific attributes to create a more generic product with universal appeal. We are forced, all of us, into the mode of people from nowhere. And we're forced to look in at what's once home as outsiders. And this is important, because I feel like there's a lot of people I don't mean this video is a way to depress people. What I'm trying to do is explain the situation as it is, and what this, because everybody gets it. Everybody understands this. People may even be a little bit liberal in their sentiment, but they get it too. They get it. They feel this abolishment of all boundaries, all barriers, all meanings, and this kind of top, ruthless, top-down terraforming of what was once home and is now nowhere. And I think we need to bring this sort of, you know, there should be movies about this. There should be people writing about this, except for just, you know, I do, and there's a few others, because I think it's a proper mode that we're going through in a way. The 80s was Thatcherism, and then you had this kind of the cool Britannia, or, you know, I watched The Italian Job a few weeks back with Michael Caine, optimistic swinging 60s kind of thing. What is it then? What was, if we take all of that into account, what is the age that we're in now? Now, they will say that you're in this kind of hyper-modern multicultural. That's all the bullshit from the top. Down on the street level, it is the UK aesthetic. It is the squalor, and the deprivation and the alienation, which is a policy. So that's just some thoughts on that. I actually think if we can outlast this. So thanks for listening, folks, and I'll catch you later.